Welcome to this introduction to Living Newspaper Edition 2. It will take about 20 minutes to listen to and begins with a brief overview of the project before describing the various performances and the spaces in which they take place. The streamed film of the performance is available from 5 p.m. on Sunday the 20th of December. After the online premiere, Edition 2 will be available to watch on demand from Monday the 21st of December at 10 a.m. to Sunday the 27th of December at 4 p.m. Tickets are available from royalcourttheatre.com. The Royal Court is working with over 60 writers to create 6 editions of Living Newspaper, a counter-narrative. Editions 1 and 2 will run in December, and editions 3 to 6 will be released in the new year. Living Newspaper, a counter-narrative, draws on the radical history of the Federal Theatre Project from 1935 to 39 in the United States, a programme that commissioned plays dealing with issues of the day, giving work to unemployed theatre workers. Each weekly edition of our newspaper will be created by both a collective of writers responsible for the front page and overall tone of the edition, and contributing writers offering individual pieces. Each edition will be urgent, responsive, and fast, written to the wire, with actors performing script in hand. The performance is a promenade. We're guided through the building by the theatre ushers on a journey that until now has been unavailable to the public. We visit backstage spaces, rehearsal rooms, and even go below the stage. This edition is performed by a multi-ethnic ensemble of 13 actors, with several appearing in more than one of the pieces. Biographies for the company members can be found at royalcourttheatre.com. We begin with an animation of the title, Living Newspaper, a Counter-Narrative, Edition 2, and a line drawing of the Royal Court's facade. This is replaced by a filmed shot of the same building, with a group of ushers in red t-shirts sitting on the front steps, aimlessly waiting for an audience that will not arrive. Lisa Hammond introduces the edition. She's a white woman in her 40s with long, straight brown hair cut in a heavy fringe and sparkling brown eyes with silvery eyeshadow. She's filmed in close-up, sitting against the background of a red wall and cushions. In the alleyway between the theatre and the London Underground building that houses Sloane Square Station, we meet a group of 6 aunties who welcome the audience in a piece by Mark Ravenhill. The aunties are played by Aisha Antoine, Mariam Hack, Sisu Hung, Wendy Quay, Rochelle Rose and Lisa Sadavi. They range in age from early 20s to 50s, with heritages ranging from China to Scotland, the Caribbean to Wales, something they refer to jokingly when wondering whether they're biologically related to anyone in the audience. They wear t-shirts in shades of pink, orange and lilac, printed with the word auntie in black capitals. At the end of their welcome, the aunties put on face masks and invite us into the building via the stage door. A second animated line drawing of the theatre, a cross-section of the building viewed from the alleyway, shows our route to the next location, the Gerwood Theatre downstairs, for the front page, written collectively by Ryan Calais Cameron, Jams, Yasmin Joseph, Anjali Felicia King, Tifik Kusoro and Mark Ravenhill. In the centre of the auditorium, like a funeral pyre or barricade, is a stack of large flight cases, the kind used for transporting theatrical equipment. The stack reaches from the stalls to the level of the circle seating. Round the base of the tower of flight cases are rolls of black fabric, storage bags of props, and upturned chairs. The impression is that a storeroom has been emptied out into a disused theatre. Giant slices of watermelon spill out of bags. A metre-wide pretzel rests on a chair. A red velvet curtain hangs over the front of the balcony, sweeping down to floor level. Long strands of silvery tinsel and strings of white bunting run out across to the stack of flight cases. A bright blue mannequin with a shock of blonde hair stands staring out from the circle. The aunties form a chorus dispersed around the space, standing on the balconies and perched on the flight cases. High on the upper balcony is Jams, a grime MC in black t-shirt and tracksuit bottoms. He's a black man in his late 20s, with close-shaved hair and beard. He's sturdy, standing with his feet apart as the beat moves through him. Cordless mic in one hand, he gesticulates with the other, wandering down to the other levels and then to the stalls in between verses. He steps lightly between small raised platforms built on top of the seating, while Rochelle Rose sings a list of the names of Conservative MPs in gospel style. A third drawn animation takes us to the scene dock, which links the wings of the theatre to the alleyway. Here we find the Cartoon of the Week by Mark Ravenhill. The camera zooms in on a cartoon speech bubble with the following words: "Every nation for itself and God for us all. Balance of power, respect for facts, not abstract theories, respect for treaty rights, but caution in extending them." Alongside, another speech bubble reads, "England, not Europe." A third bubble credits the quotation to George Canning, British Foreign Minister, 1815. Standing against a cut-out yellow sunburst about 2 metres high are two flat cut-out life-size figures with blank painted faces, a woman dressed in skirt and blouse and a man in a T-shirt and jeans. Her speech bubble asks, "What does it say?" His replies, "You have been contacted by Brexit, track and trace. You must isolate forever." The shot widens to reveal a towering stack of toilet rolls balanced on empty cardboard boxes branded with the Amazon logo. An unseen figure pushes a shopping trolley festooned with more toilet paper. She sings along to a karaoke track from an old cassette player. In front of the toilet paper hoard, resting on a burgundy velvet cushion with gold fringes, there's a small coiled brown turd. A hand reaches down to place a cocktail-sized Union Jack flag in the turd. The camera moves away to reveal the title chalked on a blue board: Splendid Isolation, a cartoon. Next, a drawn animation takes us across the alleyway to the Sight rehearsal room. It's part of the 1930s London Underground building attached to Sloane Square Station. This holds The Long Look and Long Listen by Yasmin Joseph. The room is very black and white. The walls are painted white, the window frames black. Two black metal frames on wheels, like large, slightly skewed portable clothes rails, have been brought in. One is filled with a translucent white material to create a movable screen. A black line about 5 centimetres wide has been painted on the floor at an angle across the width of the room, continuing up the walls and over the ceiling to create another black frame. Theatre lights are mounted on the ceiling. The Long Look is a movement piece which makes use of the translucent screen and portable light sources. The four performers wear black and grey tracksuits or stretchy tops and leggings. As they step forward and back, turning 90 degrees to one side and back, squares of vivid coloured light, pink, blue, orange and green, are projected on the floor and up the walls. As Nina Simone sings Lilac Wine, one of the performers, Moronke, moves behind the large white screen. In shadow, she teases out curls in her hair, lifts her arms sensuously above her head, and dances. Her shadow splits as pink, blue, and yellow lights are moved around independently. In The Long Listen, three performers, Rochelle Rose, Hamid Anamashorn, and Ntonga Mwanza, stand in a line facing us, constantly exchanging looks with each other as they discuss the day's news coverage. As they come to the end of the scene, Rochelle flicks a lighter into flame. Red light fills the screen behind, and the shadow of a woman appears, furiously tearing up sheets of paper. Next door is the Weather Room, a small room with a large museum case in the centre. This is the location for the audio piece Ruby and Me by Romy Thomas. A perspex case about 2 metres long by 1 metre deep and 1.5 metres high is mounted on a wooden base so that the floor of the perspex is at waist height. Inside, there's a model landscape like a museum diorama, with dunes of red sand, a striped deck chair that's about half life size, a bright pink plastic child's bucket and spade, and a sandcastle. A digital clock is half buried in the sand, along with a baby monitor, a zebra cuddly toy, and half a dozen placards stuck in the sand. The camera tracks over them, miniature versions of real placards from Extinction Rebellion demonstrations, with slogans including "Rebel for Life," "One World, One Last Chance," and "There is no Planet B." A cartoon placard titled "The Government's Response to Climate Change" shows a cartoon dog surrounded by flames with a speech bubble that reads, "This is fine." Smoke or fog fills the case as the voice plays. A drawn animation shows the lift descending to the substage, the space under the main auditorium, for Subculture Substage by Anjali Felicia King. Vertical metal scaffolding poles wrapped in black and yellow hazard tape stand at regular intervals along the long rectangular room. A dozen white fluorescent tubes hang down from the ceiling, some fixed to the poles at a 45-degree angle, creating an illuminated structure. The walls of the room are covered by old posters advertising club nights, overlaid with political campaigning posters. Here we meet again two of the aunties from the opening scenes, described here as Asian protest aunties. Both wear sunshades, kerchiefs round their necks, and bum bags. One has a megaphone on a strap over her shoulder. As we come in, they're sitting on folding chairs on a small platform, drinking beers, with water bottles and umbrellas at the ready. From here, we go along a corridor to the control room, another underground space with bare brick walls and small areas divided by concrete pillars with cables and pipework running through it. It's a cubbyhole stuffed full of electronic equipment from different periods, 1980s computer monitors, hard drives, mixing desks and other audio equipment. But although the equipment is out of date, some of the screens are flickering and showing scrolling images. A slightly built black woman sits on a ledge about a metre above floor level, hemmed in by nylon laundry bags and a TV monitor. Aisha Antoine performs as the WhatsApp auntie, in Tife Kosoro's piece of that name. A notification alert puts an end to her monologue as she becomes absorbed in replying to a message on her phone. Lift doors open to reveal one of the protest aunties, played by Su Si Hung, sitting in the lift in her folding chair, graffiti on the metal wall behind her, as she delivers a brief message. The box office of the theatre, with glass doors onto Sloane Square, has become a newsstand filled with dozens of lush pot plants and lamps. Five ushers, wearing red Royal Court T-shirts and face masks, sit in single spaced-out theatre seats, listening to an audio piece with two voices, "My Freedom-Loving Nan" by Tom Fowler. A floor above is the balcony bar. This space curves around the back of the auditorium with a deep red convex wall. Lin, a young woman in Beijing, played by Tasha Lim, sits on a wooden cabinet, a phone pressed to her ear. She wears a striped tank top over a polo neck, her glossy black hair loose over her shoulders. "Gold" by Chen Xian is translated by Jeremy Tiang. On the way up to the Gerwood Theatre upstairs, the other protest auntie, played by Wendy Quay, is perched with a beer in hand in an alcove with candles and protest posters behind her. At the top of the building is the big space. The walls and floor of the Gerwood Theatre upstairs are painted white. The high ceiling is black. Looped lengths of white tape, about 2.5 metres long, hang down from the ceiling, descending to about head height above the floor. Between the banks of tape, there are hanging horizontal fluorescent tubes like office lighting. White chairs are spaced out along the walls on three sides of the room. At one end of the room, the lower part of the wall has been scribbled on with black paint or charcoal, rough, scumbled lines going up to about 0.5 metre above the floor, suggesting the shadows of grass. The two performers, a young woman, Moronke Akinola, and a young man, Ntonga Mwanza, are both lightly built actors and dancers. Both wear grey tracksuits, streaked with charcoal. They carefully spread powdered black charcoal to outline a playing area about 8 metres by 3 metres. In Ryan Calais Cameron's piece, The Blank Space, passages of speech are interspersed with lyrical movement. Coloured light through the fluttering tapes creates painterly effects on the floor, a lush green streaked with rough lines like grass, or an apricot-coloured sunset. The Big Space is also the location for this week's obituary, Strawberries, by Emtiaz Hussain, performed by Mariam Haque. She's a slim young woman with curly black hair and wears a deep pink jumper and black trousers. She sits on a perspex chair as blue light streaks the floor behind her. As the audience members make their way down the stairs, they pass alcoves containing small memorials with scattered petals, candles and flowers. The Royal Court bar and kitchen is decorated with pink pom-poms and paper flowers hanging from the ceiling. The wooden sign reading Royal Court has been amended with a pink fluorescent ing to read Royal Courting. Chairs have wide pink silk ribbons tied in a bow around the back, as at a wedding. There are two aluminium bar stools with peach leather upholstery. The space seems crowded with people, but they're fashion mannequins, posed at tables, standing about in conversation. The mannequins wear 1970s and 80s fashions. For the men, tie-dye waistcoats or pale pink woolen v-necks and slacks. For the women, mini dresses and red or white leather jackets with padded shoulders, a pink frock with toning lilac belt and leggings, an ankle-length pleated skirt in shocking pink voile teamed with a silk shirt in green, red and orange stripes, silver culottes with silver fishnet tights. Framed photos of the mannequins are labelled Crushing It, perhaps the name of a club night. In Ghosting by Tom Wells, a man, Nick, sits at a small round bar table in this club with two chairs. He's played by Hamed Anamashorn, a tall black man with broad shoulders, his hair shaved at the sides with short twisted locks on top. Nick has nearly finished a pint of beer when he picks up his phone and makes a FaceTime call. Laura appears on the TV screen to the right. She's played by Lisa Hammond, who appeared in the introduction. She's seen in close-up, just her head and shoulders against a background of cushions and a red wall. She's wearing glasses, and her hair is pulled back in a ponytail. She wears red tartan pyjamas. After the performance, a member of the bar staff addresses the audience. And finally, we're invited to meet the agony aunt and the fortune teller. The agony aunt is established in what is usually the Royal Court's cloakroom. The agony aunt's booth is decorated with patterned curtains. The back wall is filled to the ceiling by stacked boxes of Kleenex tissues with inspiring slogans like Make Lemonade, Gratitude, Treat Yourself and No Regrets. Five opened boxes of tissues sit ready on the desk. Above the booth is a neon sign that reads Don't Worry. The agony aunt, played by Alex Austin, has brown hair parted on the side and slicked down, chunky glasses, a bow tie, and striped v-neck under a tweed jacket. The agony aunt picks up an old-fashioned red phone receiver to take calls, flicking through a large ring binder to find the appropriate response. The agony aunt is written by Ryan Calais Cameron, Jams, Yasmin Joseph, Anjali Felicia King, Tife Kusoro, and Mark Ravenhill. At the far end of the bar, by the queue to see the fortune teller, there's a tea trolley with a stuffed fox posed on top. The fox wears a pearl choker and pink drop earrings. The fortune teller, played by Zachary Hing, sits in a raised area at the far end of the bar, surrounded by empty gold picture frames and mirrors, hanging against a twinkling sky curtain. Their black hair is pulled back in a headdress of radiating silver stars, and they wear a jacket of black feathers. The horoscopes are written by Yakun Fan and Ruby Holder. The cast and creative team. The ensemble is Moronke Akinola, Hamed Anamashorn, Aisha Antoine, Alex Austin, Lisa Hammond, Mariam Haque, Zachary Hing, Siu Si Hung, Wendy Kuei, Tasha Lim, Ntonga Mwanza, Rochelle Rose and Lisa Sadavi. The designers are Shanko Chowdhury, Debbie Duru, Cara Evans, Sandra Falaise, Zoe Hurwitz, and Chloe Lamford. They have been working as a design collective since early 2020. Together, they have radically reimagined the Royal Court spaces for Living Newspaper. Each edition will be overseen by one of the design collective, with Shanko Chowdhury and Sandra Falaise leading on edition two. Lighting designers on edition two are Simisola Lucia Majekodunmi and Nau Nagai. Sound design by Tony Gale, Elena Pena and Giles Thomas. Composition and live music performance by Jams. Musical direction by Cassandra Gerling and movement direction by Ivan Blackstock. Edition 2 has been written by Ryan Calais Cameron, Sian Chen, Yukun Fan, Tom Fowler, Nick Gill, Ruby Holder, Emtiaz Hussein, Jams, Yasmin Joseph, Anjali Felicia King, Tife Kusoro, Mark Ravenhill, Ruby Thomas and Tom Wells, with Sian Chen's contribution translated by Jeremy Tiang. The facilitators for Edition 2 are Jane Fallowfield, Literary Manager, Maya Jeffers, Literary Associate, Philip Morris, Trainee Director, Sam Pritchard, Associate Director International, and Theatre Director Roy Alexander Wise, MBE. This audio introduction is written for the Royal Court by Eleanor Margulies and Miranda Yates. We will update the recorded introduction each week in response to the new issue of the Living Newspaper. Let us know if you have suggestions about the format or information you'd like included. You can contact us via Rachel Dudley, that's RachelDudley, at royalcourttheatre.com.